14. As they ate, Bentley put his feelings into words. I killed Moore because I had no choice. In a few seconds, he would have turned Peleg over to a technician and returned to his own body at Farben. Peleg would have gone on and detonated against you. Some of Moore's staff are that loyal. How close would the body have had to be? Cartwright asked. The body got within less than 3 miles of you. 2 miles closer, and Beric would now dominate the known system. No actual contact was necessary? I had time for only a quick look at the wiring, but a standard proximity mechanism tuned to your brain pattern was wired into the circuit. And then there is the power of the bomb itself. The law specifies no weapon a man can't carry in one hand. The bomb was a regulation H grenade from the last war. The bomb is, Cartwright reminded him. Everything depended on Peleg? Rita asked. There was a second synthetic body. It's about half complete. Nobody at Farben expected total disorganization of the core. They got more than they hoped for. But Moore is out of the picture. The second body will never go into operation. Only Moore can bring it to its final stages. He kept everybody else down to lower levels, and Varric knows that. What happens when Moore reaches Preston? Rita demanded. Then Moore will be back in the picture again. I didn't know about Preston, Bentley admitted. I destroyed Moore's body so he couldn't leave the synthetic. If Preston is going to help him, he'll have to work fast. The synthetic won't last long in deep space. Why didn't you want him to kill me? Cartwright inquired. I didn't care if he killed you. I wasn't thinking about you. That's not precisely true, Schaefer said. The thought was there as a corollary. When you made your psychological break, you automatically switched against Beric's strategy. You acted as an impeding agent, semi-voluntarily. Bentley wasn't listening. I was tricked from the beginning, he said. All of them were mixed up in it. Beric, Moore, Eleanor Stevens. From the moment I set foot in the lounge, Wakeman tried to warn me. He did what he could. I came to the directorate to get away from rottenness. I wound up doing its work. Beric gave me orders, and I followed them. But what are you supposed to do in a society that's corrupt? Are you supposed to obey corrupt laws? Is it a crime to break a law that's a rotten law, or an oath that's rotten? It's a crime, Cartwright admitted slowly. But it may be the right thing to do. In a society of criminals, Schaefer offered, the innocent man goes to jail. Who decides when the society is made up of criminals? Bentley demanded. How do you know when your society has gone wrong? How do you know when it's right to stop obeying the laws? You just know, Rita O'Neill said fiercely. You've got a built-in mechanism? Bentley asked the woman. That's great. I wish I had. I wish everybody had. It must be a hell of a handy thing. There are 6 billion of us living in this system, and most of us think the system works just fine. Am I supposed to go against everybody around me? They're all obeying the laws. He was thinking of Al and Laura Davis. They're happy, contented, satisfied. They have good jobs. They eat well. They have a nice place to live. Eleanor Stevens said I had a sick mind. How do I know I'm not a sick misfit? A quasi-psychotic? You have to have faith in yourself, Rita O'Neill said. Everybody has that. That's a dime a dozen. I stood the rottenness as long as I could, and then I rebelled. Maybe they're right. Maybe I am a felon. I think Beric broke his oath to me. I think I was released. But maybe I'm wrong. If you're wrong, Schaefer pointed out, you can be shot on sight. I know. But, Bentley struggled up the words, in a way that isn't important. I never kept an oath because I was afraid of breaking it. I kept it because I didn't think it should be broken. But I can only go so far. A point came when this whole thing sickened me so much I couldn't work with it anymore. I can't stand to get it on my hands, even if it means being hunted down and shot. That may happen, Cartwright said. You say Varick knew about the bomb? That's right. Cartwright reflected. A protector isn't supposed to send a classified serf to his death. That's reserved for Unks. He's supposed to protect his classies, not destroy them. Judge Waring would know, I suppose. It takes an expert. You didn't know Varick had been quacked when you took your oath? No, but they knew. Cartwright rubbed his grizzled jaw with the back of his hand. Well, maybe you have a case, maybe not. You're an interesting person, Bentley. What are you going to do now that you've tossed off the rules? Are you going to take a fealty oath again? I don't think so, Bentley said. Why not? A man shouldn't become another man's serf. I don't mean that. Cartwright picked his words carefully. What about a positional oath? I don't know. Bentley shook his head wearily. I'm tired. Maybe later on. Rita O'Neill spoke up. You should join my uncle's staff. You should swear on to him. They were all looking at him. Bentley said nothing for a while. The Corps takes a positional oath, doesn't it? He asked presently. That's right, Schaefer said. That's the oath Peter Wakeman thought so much of. If you're interested, Cartwright said, his shrewd old eyes on Bentley, I'll swear you on to me as quizmaster with a positional oath. I never got my P-card back from Varick, Bentley said. A fleeting, potent expression crossed Cartwright's face. Oh, well, that can be repaired. He reached in his coat and got out a small, carefully wrapped package. With slow, deliberate fingers, he unwrapped the package and laid the contents on the table. There were a dozen power cards. Cartwright sorted through them, selected one, examined it intently, then replaced the others in the package and wrapped them up tight. He restored them to his pocket and passed the single P card to Bentley. $2, does it? And you can keep it? I won't collect it back. You should have one. Everybody ought to have an even chance in the great game. Bentley got slowly to his feet. He dug in his wallet and presently tossed 2 paper dollars down. He pocketed the P card and stood waiting as Cartwright rose. This feels familiar, Bentley said. You know, Cartwright said, I haven't any idea how the oath goes. Somebody'll have to help me out. I know it, Bentley said. With Rita O'Neill and Schaefer watching silently, he recited the positional oath to Quizmaster Cartwright and then abruptly took his seat. His coffee was cold, but he drank it anyhow. He barely tasted it. He was deep in thought. Now you're part of us officially, Rita O'Neill said. Bentley grunted. The woman's eyes were dark and intense. You saved my uncle's life. You saved all our lives. The body would have blown this resort to fragments. Leave him alone, Schaefer said to her warningly. Rita ignored him. Leaning toward Bentley, her strong face avid, she continued. You should have killed Varick while you were at it. You could have. He was there, too. Bentley threw down his fork. I'm through eating. He got to his feet and left the table. If nobody minds, I'll be outside, walking around. He strode out of the dining room and into the corridor. A few directorate officials stood here and there, talking softly. Bentley wandered aimlessly around, his mind in turmoil. After a while, Rita O'Neill appeared at the doorway. She stood watching him, her arms folded tautly. "I'm sorry," she said presently. "It's all right." She came up beside him, breathing rapidly, red lips half parted. "I shouldn't have said that. You've done enough." She put her quick, feverish fingers on Bentley's arm. "Thanks." Bentley pulled away. "I broke my oath to Varric, let's face it. But that's all I can do. I killed Moore. He was as soulless as he is bodiless. He's nothing but a calculating intellect, not a man. But I'm not going to touch Rhys Varric." Rita's black eyes blazed.
"Common sense ought to tell you better than that. You're so noble and full of ethics. Don't you know what Varric would do to you if he caught you?"
"You don't know when to stop. I swore on to your uncle. Isn't that enough? On paper, I'm a felon. I broke a law. But I don't consider myself a criminal." He faced her defiantly. "Understand?" Rita retreated.
"I don't consider you a felon either."
She hesitated uncertainly.
"Will you try to tell him what to do?"
"Cartwright? Of course not."
"You'll let him run things himself?"
"Wakeman wouldn't let him."
"He has to run things. You can't interfere."
"I never told anybody what to do in my life. All I want to do is..." Bentley shrugged angrily, unhappily. "I don't know. Be another Al Davis, I suppose. Have my house and a good job, mind my own business." His voice rose in despair. "But goddammit, not in this system. I want to be an Al Davis in some world where I can obey the laws, not break them. I want to obey the laws. I want to respect them. I want to respect the person around me." Rita was silent a moment.
"You respect my uncle?"
"You will if you don't now." She broke off, embarrassed.
"Don't you respect me?"
"Sure," Bentley said.
"Do you mean it?"
Bentley grinned crookedly.
"Of course."
In fact, at the end of the hall, Major Schaefer appeared. He shouted at Bentley, faint and shrill.
"Bentley! Run!"
Bentley stood paralyzed. Then he jerked away from Rita O'Neill.
"Get in there with your uncle."
He yanked out his popper.
"But what?"
Bentley turned and raced down the corridor to the descent ramp. Corpsmen and directorate officials scurried everywhere. He reached the ground level and ran desperately toward the balloon wall. It was too late. A clumsy figure in a half-removed Farley suit blocked his way. Eleanor Stevens, red hair flaming, face pale, gasping for breath, hurried up beside him.
"Get out of here,"
she panted. In the heavy, unfamiliar suit, she stumbled over a supply carrier and half fell against the wall.
"Ted,"
she wailed.
"Don't try to fight him. Just run. If he gets you..."
"I know," Bentley said. "He'll kill me." At the entrance sphincter of the balloon, a single high-velocity hill transport had landed on the arid surface. Passengers were climbing out. A small knot of bulky figures was moving cautiously toward the resort. Rhys Varric had arrived.